With the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read today from Genesis chapter 3 to meditate upon the wisdom of our Heavenly Father revealed in His Holy Word about the treacherous and deceitful ways of our adversary the devil. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman answered unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
Is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this afternoon. And now, let us bend our knees and unite our hearts in a prayer and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, with all the heavenly hosts that are praising and glorifying Thy holy name, we also, in our small number, and as weak and poor as we are, desired to glorify Thy holy name, to worship Thee with gratitude and praise, to think, O Heavenly Father, of Thy great goodness and mercy, and to remember Thy glorious and wonderful deeds that Thou hast done, O Lord, as we consider in awesome wonder all the worlds that Thou hast have made. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, Thou art the Creator of the whole universe. Thou art that Spirit that gives life and breath to all of Thy creation. Thou art King of Kings, O Lord, and the glory of Thy great and holy name, the majesty of Thy throne and Thy power will never cease, will never fade away, will never be diminished. Thou art King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To Thee belong honor and glory, government and power, worship and praise. Not only art Thou our Creator, O God, but in Christ, Thine only begotten Son, our blessed Redeemer, Thou art our Redeemer and our Savior also. We all, like the sheep, have gone astray. We all, O Heavenly Father, since the beginning, since the fall of our great, great parents, until this day are born in sin. And before we knew Thy goodness and Thy grace, O Lord, we multiplied our iniquity. And in many ways, O Heavenly Father, we were the children of wrath, in disobedience, in ignorance, lusting after sin, doing evil, careless about thy great goodness and mercy, and even ignorant of thy laws and thy commandments, O Lord. And yet thou, Heavenly Father, seeing our wretchedness and knowing how long is that eternity, how awful is the judgment that we have deserved, thou hast had compassion and love even for us. O gracious and loving Lord, since we were not able to leave our sins and to rise up and above the reproach of sin, thou hast opened the heavenly portals and thou hast sent thy Holy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one whom thou hast promised so long ago to suffer, to suffer pain and agony that we have deserved, and to experience that deepest suffering of hell in his own soul, to redeem us from thy judgment, to lead us out of darkness to thy glorious light. And with thy truth, O Heavenly Father, this blessed word of thine, to enlighten our minds that were darkened by sin and ignorance. Oh, how great is thy goodness and mercy, O Lord, and how wonderful is that blessed hope that thou hast sent us in Christ. Loving Heavenly Father, thou hast taken away the burden of our sins. And when he, thy beloved Son, received that full measure of suffering for sinners, redeeming us from everlasting death and hell, when his lifeless body was hanging on the cross and his soul returned to thy bosom, O God, the veil in the temple was torn from top to the bottom, for there was a new veil through which thou hast opened the way of salvation, the way to that heavenly sanctuary where there is peace and joy forevermore. Gracious Lord, now we look into thy holy word. Now we ponder, O Heavenly Father, on the great goodness and mercy of thine. And we pray, Lord, that thou reveal to us again in greater depth and clarity how the first man and woman, for one sin, for one transgression, had given up the blessedness of the Garden of Eden and the glorious presence before thy holy face, for suffering, for continual struggle and insecurity, they have given the abundance and the multitudes of thy blessings. Sin, and so they inherited corruption and death. And yet thou hast given them a hope that someday thou wilt crush the power of Satan. O Lord God Almighty, in Christ thou hast overcome the enemy, and in Christ thou hast given us the Savior for our souls. And now we pray in these last days, when only the remnant of thy people will be saved, when so many have the lamps but no oil in them, when so many have the name but not the deeds of thine, when so many, O Heavenly Father, just as thou hast foretold to the prophets of old, desire to eat their own bread and to wear their own clothing, and yet they want to be called by thy name. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that thou teach us to discern right and wrong, to understand thy word in clear light of thy truth. And thou, O Heavenly Father, guide us by thy Spirit. Keep us from all evil, from sin and transgression. And by the power of thy Spirit of grace, by the wisdom of thy holy word, make us dead to sin and evil. And make us alive in Christ our Lord and our Redeemer. Thou purify our hearts, illuminate our minds, and make our soul free, free from vanity and pride, free from lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, bitterness, anger, vengeance, and envy. Thou purify our inner man and give us holy thinking, pure Christian affections, spiritual emotions. May thy Spirit dwell in our hearts and rule our lives, that every day, O Lord, and especially on this blessed day of our gathering before thy holy face, we may be one step closer to that wonderful and perfect example which thou hast given us in Christ. Gracious Lord, we are but few gathered here, and yet thou art our loving Heavenly Father, and our comfort is in that peace of a conscience purged from sin by the precious blood of our Redeemer. And our joy is in thy work on our salvation. Glorious and loving Heavenly Father, outpour thy abundant blessing upon every group that prays, and wherever, O Heavenly Father, thy word is proclaimed in purity, in simplicity, in true godliness, open thou the hearts and the minds of thy people, and strengthen us in faith, fill our hearts with love and hope. Grant us obedience, faithfulness and zeal for thy will. And also, Heavenly Father, look in thy goodness and grace, lovingly and mercifully, upon each individual soul and heart, those that are on the sick beds, and the others that are in their old age, and again the others that are in persecution, despised and rejected, and especially look on those that are falsely accused and unjustly condemned. And thou, Heavenly Father, unite thy people's hearts and minds in Christ, in the spirit of love and peace, in the spirit of joy, in the spirit, O Heavenly Father, of true holiness and righteousness, which thou hast given us in Christ, our Redeemer. Gracious Lord, teach us thou to see the ways which the enemy is using to come near to our hearts and to sow his seed. Teach us to resist the enemy that he would have to flee from us. And thou reveal to us, O Heavenly Father, that only in thee, only in Christ, only following and obeying thy Spirit's guidance, instruction, and accepting thy correction, we have lasting peace, safety and security for our souls, and that in doing thy will, there is a great reward. Gracious Lord, within the frame of our limited understanding, we pray unto thee, but thou, in thy great goodness, O Lord, grant us much more, and bless thy holy word, and once again, in these last days, proclaim thy gospel. Move the souls that thou hast redeemed, and draw the hearts to Christ, and accept them in Christ. And thou, O Heavenly Father, remove the burdens, the loads of sin and evil. And thou grant true repentance. Full conversion, victory over sin and death, new life in Christ, peace and joy forevermore. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may this great goodness of thine and this blessed word of thine bring glory and honor to thy holy name, new strength and comfort to thy children, light and truth to those that are in darkness, that thy people may be united in Christ and in full number before that great and glorious day when thou wilt spell the end of evil and sin and gather thy children to be with thee in peace, in joy, in glory and gladness forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
With the help of our Heavenly Father again, and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we continue our reading from Genesis chapter 3. Let us read from the verse number 9 to the verse number 15. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This far I desire that we read from this chapter 3 of Genesis. We see, beloved, that when the creation was completed, the Lord blessed the inhabitants of the Garden of Eden, and He gave them commandments and rules. He outlined clearly and plainly the way of their living and the boundaries of their ministry. So, the Lord blessed man to be blessed, which means to be happy, to enjoy that life, and to rejoice in the creation and in their Creator. And God placed the first man and his wife in the Garden of Eden to work in the garden, to tend the garden, and to protect the garden. And we see, beloved, that as long as they obeyed the Lord God, in that obedience, they had joy and life. There was no death. There was no danger from which they should be frightened. There was no power of an enemy that could overcome them unless they turned away from the commandment given to them by God and first surrendered to the enemy by obeying the enemy. So, that wonderful world that the Creator has created, the world that was filled with God's glory, the world in which every creature enjoyed the blessing of life and pleasant labor, that world was to go on and on, to be multiplied and to spread all over the earth, and the whole earth to be the kingdom of God, in which God's creature called man is ruling in peace and harmony. How long did that last? We know not. But even though we do not know the years that the first man lived in the Garden of Eden, we know that that blessedness lasted until their transgression. As long as they obeyed the Creator, as long as they worshipped God and ruled over that newly created world, Everything was wonderful. And now we see what methods, what craftiness the enemy used to destroy the happiness and blessedness of the first people. Even today, our enemy is using the same way and with the same intention to destroy the peace that our Heavenly Father has given us in Christ. We read here that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the enemy said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now, what kind of a question is that? It appears that the enemy tried to present the commandment of the Lord as confusing. Did God say that ye may not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, which tree then you may eat? Maybe that tree is wrong, or the other one, or this one. How can you know? We see the same tone or the same craftiness, evil-mindedness. In the beginning of the temptation in the wilderness, when Satan met the Prince of Peace, our Redeemer, and said, if thou art the Son of God, why then this or that? So here, Satan is making or trying to present a very plain and simple commandment of the Lord as confusing, and not only confusing, but something that is worth of human resentment. And the woman answered, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. There is only one tree that God commanded us not to eat of. And that's in the midst of the garden. God said, ye shall not eat of it, lest ye die." So it's very plain, Eve explained to the enemy, there is only one tree that we should not enjoy because it's not enjoyable. It's dangerous. And the location is very clear. It's right there in the midst of the garden. We cannot be confused, nor by mistake take of that tree thinking that that's good to eat. We see the same thing in the beginning, that our Lord and Savior, answering to the temptation of the enemy, used the word of God. Eve did the same thing in the beginning, in her first answer. Only when the enemy told to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "Worship me," our Lord answered, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get lost. Get away from me. Satan, thou art ugly, nasty. There is no pleasure for me in thy offering, in thy suggestion, in thy advice." Why was Eve alone here? Where was Adam in the meantime? Perhaps that is another thing that we should notice. That in separating those that should be one, the enemy is gaining an opportunity to deceive and to sow his seed. seed. So the enemy answered to Eve, it's not quite sure that you will die. He will read, ye shall not surely die. Perhaps it's not exactly sure that you will die, or you surely will not die. And it seemed to me that the possibility that transgression is not as sinful as it might appear in the Word of God, that the consequences of sin are not as severe as the Word of God had said they are, that is another weapon of the enemy trying to tell us it's not really that dangerous. And then another thing, God doth know that in the day ye eat of that tree, your eyes shall be opened. There is something that is hidden from your eyes, something that you know not yet. And imagine if you discover that, how exciting that would be. How attractive it is to find out that unknown. The new generation of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah that is flooding the world nowadays also thought that there is something exciting, something pleasant, something to reveal and enjoy in the awful, awfully sinful things that they called their pleasure. Even worse, they call that fulfillment. On the other hand, it is the fulfillment of the old prophecies that all the earth has corrupted itself and is getting ripe for the judgment of God. And what did the sinful people gain in Sodom and Gomorrah? Sickness and destruction and an awful corruption and finally the judgment of God. Don't we see the same thing nowadays? That the pleasure that is promised in sin is never fulfilled, that it's an awful and terrible lie, that the true happiness is in obedience of the Word of God. And indeed, their eyes were opened to see what they saw never before, and that was their doom. Is God selfish? God forbid. Would He not have given us pure joys, if there were any, in sin and transgression? All of His commandments are for our salvation, our safety and security, for a life in which we will have peace and joy in Christ our Lord. So, we see what the Satan is trying to suggest to the woman. He is doing the same thing today. First, he says that God's commandments are too heavy and perhaps confusing, unclear, unknown. And then that God's commandments are not true. It's not sure that they will die. And then that God knows that through the transgression of His will, men will become like gods or higher beings. not only physical but spiritual. Lie after lie, deception after deception. And what a tragedy. Eve did believe, and Adam apparently did not even try to check if that is correct or true. He followed. For when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the tree was good for food. Eve is looking at that tree with different eyes now, with the eyes of a sinner. She believed to Satan, and we cannot believe God and believe Satan. The moment she believed to the enemy, the real liar, she made the true God a liar. She turned away from the commandment of the Lord and followed the satanic lie. That the fruit of the tree is pleasant to the eyes and very attractive to make her wise. But the wisdom of the world is foolishness before God. So she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And right away, misery seeks company. She gave to her husband, and he did eat. Their eyes were opened. They saw what they never saw before. And what they were seeing before, they saw no more. The Garden of Eden was not a beautiful place anymore. It was not a place of God's goodness and glory, of human gratitude and joy. They were afraid. What should have they done at that moment? First, they should not have transgressed the will of the Lord. But when they did it, the first thing to do was to run to the Lord and to cry to the Lord and show to Him their sin. But they were afraid, because they knew the commandment of God, and yet they did transgress it. So they tried to cover up. They knew that they were naked. They gathered the leaves of a fig tree, and they made aprons or some coverings. I think that there is no great secret. If anyone made a covering from fig leaves, first, it's so sharp and very unpleasant. Second, by the end of that day, all the leaves were curled up and really did not cover much. And so is every excuse that the mankind is using to cover up for their sins. It only tells that they are guilty and they are aware of their being guilty, and yet they try to cover up instead of to confess and beg for mercy and salvation through Christ our Lord. And now they hear the glorious voice of the Almighty God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That should have been their moment of worship, the moment of great joy, the wonderful moment of hearing the voice of the God of love and peace, joy and blessedness. All of that is lost. What is left? Their eyes are wide open now with fear. They know that they are naked. They transgressed the commandment of God. And they are hiding amongst the trees of the garden. Same thing that the mankind is doing nowadays. Using the creation of God to cover up or to hide their rebellion against the Creator. And so the whole nature is getting more and more corrupted. And the mankind cannot find a place where to hide away from their sins. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And Adam had to answer. Why did not Adam keep quiet? And just, why didn't he keep hiding? Perhaps somehow he would have escaped. No, no way. When God is calling, even the dead ones rise up and come. And indeed, Adam and Eve were dead in their transgression. The first signs of dying already showed themselves in their mind, in their heart. They didn't have peace, but fear. They didn't come to meet the Lord, but were hiding from Him. They were ashamed because they were naked before they were open, sincere, honest. Now they belong to the other one, the enemy, and they're afraid. So Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam is alone now. Before he had a helper meet for him, and there was not I but we before the transgression. After the fall, Adam is all alone. They both are hiding. But Adam didn't say, "We heard thy voice, and we are naked, and we hid ourselves." But he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I am naked, and I hid myself." Man became a selfish individual, self-centered, and yet miserable in his self-centeredness. And God said, "What tells thee that thou art naked? Hast thou trespassed my commandment?" And the man said, "Yes, I did trespass, and I repent, and I beg mercy and forgiveness." Oh, no, no, no. It would be much more wonderful or much less difficult if there was that grace in the fallen sinner. But there was none. The man said, "The woman." Now, let's just compare that. I heard the voice of God. I was afraid. I am naked. I'm hiding myself. For all of that, the woman, she is the guilty one. And thou, God, art the guilty one too. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, I'm wrong. I repent. And I beg thy mercy. Oh no, nothing of that kind. The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God did not ask the serpent, What is that that thou hast done? No. Perhaps sometime long ago there was a question of that kind, I know not. But at this time, this is not the first transgression of this enemy. The enemy that tried to conquer the kingdom of heaven, cast down to the earth, tries to conquer the kingdom of God given to the mankind. And so a great controversy has opened and is going on still today. God said to the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Don't we remember that very similar thing was said to Cain later on? First, to Adam, the earth was cursed for man's sake. But then second curse to Cain, thou art cursed. And Cain never repented. He never repented. He was lost forever. And here God says, Thou, Satan, art cursed above every creature.
Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So that was the curse, because not only Satan sinned, but because continually he is trying to destroy the blessedness of the others. This is going to be his judgment. He will never be able to lift up himself above his sinful condition. Upon his belly he shall move, and dust shall he eat forever and ever. All the days of his activity. Now, when we compare that with the words that the Lord said to Adam in the verse number 19 of this chapter 3, For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now we remember that God created man from dust. But when God formed that dust in the form of the man to be, and gave to man the breath of life, and the man became a living soul, it was not dust anymore. But in this case, nothingness, emptiness, vanity and vanity of vanities, the man became when he yielded to sin. And as such, he became the prey of Satan, and all that Satan is feeding himself with is by victimizing the mankind with sin. Dust, lifeless, shapeless, without beauty, without peace, without joy, is sinful way of living. All their joys turn into bitterness. And then God said,
I'm placing enmity between thee and the woman. There is not going, once the human beings were conquered by sin of the enemy, there was no love between the enemy and the mankind. Satan did not become prince of peace to the mankind as he is promising to every generation, to every society, to every political group of the mankind. No. Satan is a tyrant. And when he has no one to torture, he is tortured in himself, because never, never, never he will have an open door to return back to God. An awful situation. He is having hell in himself. Misery. Enmity between the woman and the serpent, between the seed of the evil one and the seed of the woman. That seed shall finally bruise the head of the enemy, and the enemy shall bruise his heel, that part of his being that is touching the ground. That part of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that made him similar to us, which is flesh and blood, that will die on the cross. And yet, in his suffering, our blessed Redeemer bruised the power of that awful deceiver, the enemy of our souls. And to the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And you know, it's going on. Not only that, but in everything, when the mankind is trying to help themselves through sin and evil, their sorrow and their pain is multiplied. That what should have been the greatest joy, bringing new life to that blessed world that God has created, is now turned into labor and pain and bitterness. And then, what a strange relationship has become of the beautiful first love of the first human couple. God says to the woman, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Since that time that a woman stepped in front of her husband, since that time that husband somehow failed to be an appropriate constant company to his wife, since that time that they were separated by first transgression and then united by second transgression, there is, instead of harmony, competition. Instead of giving, selfishness. Instead of worshipping God together, struggling in sin. What a tragedy. All of that, all of the abundance of God's blessings, lost for transgression. What a misery. And yet, there was given that promise that of the seed of woman, the Savior will come, that will open the door to the mankind to return back to their original inheritance, and that is peace and harmony in Christ our God. So, to Adam, God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Now, God did not create man to be deaf to the voice of his wife. But listening to the voice of his wife in order to transgress the commandment of God, that's what was sinful. To eat of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What is that, prince, the ruler of the Garden of Eden? What is that happy man that is blessed to multiply and fill not only the Garden of Eden but the whole earth? What is that glory and innocency, simplicity and purity and holiness and life going on and on? All of that, oh, how much was given just for one transgression. And then we see that God is giving them some covering that is much better than the one that they made themselves. And I wonder, beloved, if this is not directly related to the promise of the Lord that all the seed of the woman, there will come one that will bruise the head of the enemy of our souls. We read in the verse 21, unto Adam and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know what is good and evil. Who is that one among all the heavenly inhabitants in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the one that learned and knew and found out what is not only good with which and in which he was created, but evil also that he himself created? Man has become like Satan, sinful. And Satan had power over man. And now God says, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. How? In sin. Forever in sin. How this reminds us on the words that Paul the Apostle wrote to the Corinthians. It's in the chapter 11, first epistle to the Corinthians, verse 23 and on we read, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily
eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so on. The Lord God Almighty did not want first man and the mankind to continue in the bondage of sin forever, so he kept them from eating of the tree of life, lest they should eat of the tree of life and live forever in their sins. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and the place, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And finally, who approached that sword? The righteous wrath and just judgment of the Almighty, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the righteous and the pure, the Lamb of God. And the sword fell on him, and he died on the cross and opened the way to that everlasting life. Back to peace, harmony, and joy with our Creator and our blessed Redeemer, to whom belong worship and praise, honor and glory forever.